Having bought a very old Bellamy couch at Dumphy's Auction House in County Clare, it sat proudly and served well for a number of years before its seat finally gave in. Having grown very fond of our old friend, we went looking for someone to fix it. It took a surprisingly long time to find someone to take the job on. Eventually, we found the man, Ger McNamara, General Upholsterer, as the sign said. His workshop was down a narrow alleyway in the centre of Limerick City.
Hi, Ger.
Right, Michael, I'm here, General Upholstery Services now, with a settee there that you gave me to repair for you. First of all, it's a Bellamy couch, years old, 18-something I'd say, by the look of it, and well-worn. It's 6 foot on the seat, colour green with all deep buttons at the back. Lovely piece of furniture, lovely leg in it. Your whole seat has collapsed in it now, so what we're going to do is we're going to put a whole new solid front into the seat of it and rebuild a new seat for you.
So how long have you been here, Jared, in the workshop?
I've been here 19 years, Muddy. I've been doing upholstery since I was 12 years old. Will you grab a hold of that here and give me a lift? I'm just turning up the chair, the settee there now, to give a look at the bottom of it.
I didn't know what to expect when I arrived to the workshop. I certainly didn't expect to see Jared toss this antique piece of furniture around with such ease.
Now, as you can see, Mike, there, the webbing is absolutely rotten in it. So that'll all have to be stripped off, re-webbed first, and then re-sprung the whole out of it. It's a big job and it'll take a good bit of time, you know. But first of all, the main thing anyway is that the whole seat has to come out and we've got to get a solid rail into the front of it, because the front is very badly bent. And we have your cover there, you see? See the old cover there, your canvases? That's horse hair now, that is. And it's a mixture of hog hair as well, hog hair from a pig. These pigs are specially kind of bred for their hair, to be put into furniture, antique furniture, isn't it? Jesus, that must be about 150 years old, like, ancientist. That's what I'm saying to you, the fella that done it is well dead. if not, he's the oldest man in the world, anyway. That was printed about 100 years ago, right, that hair there. You know what I mean? This hair was edited, but this is the original hair. That's horse hair now. You won't get anything like that now today, you know? They're not making that kind of hair no more, you know what I mean? Like, horses now are kind of protected and stuff, so they're not shaving them no more, like. But it came from the mane and the tail, the hair that... Could you imagine how many horses that you needed for a couch, like, back then, you know what I mean? So I'm going to get all that teased there now. There's a big thrashing machine there with spikes in it. I'm going to lob that into it and get it all teased up. I have to bring it away and get a fella to do it.
Okay.
I have to get a fella by the name of Jack McGrath to do that. Other than that, that's the procedure, Mike. So we'll start kind of tipping it off.
A few days later, I called by to see how things were moving along and listened as Jerry went about his business.
No, come here, I want you.
Well...
Oh, you bring them all, did you?
About five, just 10.
That's fine. You know what I mean? You call in tomorrow from Soa?
I will, I'll bring up the other one.
Do tomorrow.
Oh, I know him quite well. He's known far and wide. Good work. Well, that's a piece of leather that was off an old suite he done for me, and he promised to he just gave me that to cover my car seat.
Yeah.
Which was nice and decent of him too. He's a famous man. God bless you and save you. I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, then. I'll have him done.
Thank you very much indeed.
Away.
God bless you, boys.
All right, boy. Good luck.
Good luck to you.
Yeah, the workshop is approximately 40 feet by 18 feet wide. It's in Maloney's Yard in Lord Gerald Griffin Street. This yard has been here for years and years. This was an old horse park and facility where you could come into the market with your horses and park here and go downtown. You know what I mean? There was a vetting on the unit over here. But that's all kind of gone now, you know, and apparently this place is going to be all redeveloped in the next couple of years, you know. It's sold anyway. We're negotiating it at the minute, where we're going to go and what we're going to do and stuff, you know what I mean? But it consists of, mainly, I have two sewing machines there, compressor, treads, bandsaw, computer.
On my first visit, Jerry had mentioned his gym across the yard.
Of course, a radio, but that's what it all consists of anyway.
Scattered around the darkened walls of the workshop were images of stress and strain.
We do everything. We do car seats, household furniture, bare seating, motorbike seats, everything in the household line or the car dealer's line or anything at all. customers come from all over the place. As I've been here, 20 years, I have a good customer clientele built up in the whole lot, you know. From solicitors to guards to everybody comes into me, you know. As you can see, people just drop in for the chat.
Watching and listening to Ger talk about his work,
and of course, the gym is over there.
I realised that this square, bulldog build of a man wasn't your average upholsterer.
Well, Mike, I've been 5 foot now for 30 years. I don't think there's nothing I'm going to do about it. I'm happy the way I am, you know. Sometimes I get people kind of laughing at me over my height, all right, you know what I mean? But they don't really know how strong I am then, you know, behind it all. You know, I get great respect, especially from the crowd in Patrickswell now. I'm the only world champion in Patrickswell, so I get great respect from them boys out there, you know. Because I don't think they've ever had a world champion living in the area. Mike, come on over now and I'll show you the gym there. This is the Patrickswell powerlifting club across from the shop that we all train in. It's handy, because sometimes I go in training there and I can look out the window and see if there's any customers over there outside the door that wants me. And then going heavier comes over there and I'd be full of chalk and everything. Now, this is the gym here where we all train, consisting of tons of weight, as you can see around the place. Photographs of the guys. Here's a photograph here of Big Dave squatting 1,000 pounds, which would be about 80 stone, I'd say. It'd be nearly a mini. Up in his back, going down like that. That's myself there, then breaking the world record, 355 kilos. In the squat, weighing 67.5 kilo body weight.
You're well respected throughout the sport, obviously.
Well, I do a lot of coaching as well and give seminars on lifting and stuff like that, you know what I mean? That goes around the bar like that, you see? And what happens is, when you descend onto the squat, the chain goes on the floor. When the chain goes on the floor, then when you start coming up, the weight gets heavier because the chain is lifting off the ground, you know? And then you have a band like this pulling you onto the floor as well. A 2-inch rubber band, green colour. Tension is 100 kilos band tension before you even put a weight in the bar. The size of the room is about 15 feet by 15 feet. And there's about 8 machines in there, so it's pretty clogged up, but we kind of manage away.
There's no fancy equipment or no fancy water coolers or air conditioning here, Jared. It's fairly basic, isn't it?
That's all a strength athlete needs.
But what was the room before it was the club?
A veterinary hospital. They're big caterpillar tires there for turning up and down the yard out there. So we use that to strengthen our lower back and stuff. So you flip them up and down the road, you know, 3 or 4 times and come back, But I don't know what we're going to do. When the man develops the gym, I don't know where we're going to go. But sure, we'll decide that when it happens.
It turns out that Ger McNamara is one of the top powerlifters in the world, with more than 30 world and European titles under his belt, and is in training for yet another world record attempt. Today, though, Jer is coaching a colleague of his,
putting on her belt, you know, and stuff.
A Polish lady by the name of Petra Stumpova.
Come on, Petra, come on. Come on, get everything right, set all the keys in position, come on. There you go.
Right now. Good.
She's pushing. What would that be compared to ratio to body weight, Davey?
4 times her body weight.
Yeah. 4 times her body weight. Now she's stepping it up another 20 kilos. She's one of the strongest in Europe. You can understand a beautiful woman like that going under the weight, turning into an absolute horror when she's under it, Jekyll and Hyde job.
I must say, I was a little taken aback by it all.
Just to make sure I'm tightening her belt so her back won't break or anything.
I'm back.
You have 180 kilos on that piano, Mike, which is 400 pounds. And then you have band tension. So you have 280 kilos.
The last person I expected to see in this environment 40 pounds, which is was a young Polish woman.
If you don't believe that you can do it, you know, No matter how strong you are, you're just not going to do it. That's the end of it, you know.
You working in Limerick or is it?
I live in Mellow, so I train in Cork during the week, but I come here just so we get time to talk about trainings and all that.
Yeah, yeah.
So he advised me what to do for the next week. And
what do your family and friends think of, I mean, do they ask you about your sport?
They take it as much of a part of me already because I've been doing it for so long, you know. I'd be more surprised if I'm not in the gym than I am, you know. Mm-hmm. So they don't think much of it, to be honest, not anymore.
I was intrigued by Petra and looking forward to meeting her again.
I'm next up after her there now. I'm a bit more madder than her now, you know what I mean?
Will you be pushing it today?
I'll be.
Pushes it every day.
We'll see how it goes.
What gives me the most satisfaction in my life, that I was going home to my boys in the night after training and working, my wife, and having a bit of a crack with my wife, because she's always taking the piss out of me every time, like, with something. She does, yeah.
She needs that, really, don't she?
I don't know what she's ever up to. Like, I might go out the back and I get a pot of water thrown over me for nothing, you know? She's a bit of a joker, all right. And she's a great old sense of humour, like, that woman of mine.
Going back to the very early days, Joe, when did you first decide to go into weightlifting, or did somebody you knew who was involved in powerlifting that drew you into it?
Well, I came from St Mary's Park, Mike, and a man by the name of Shawnee Bullman had a little gym there, so I decided there was kind of nothing doing at the time. I was 12 years old, so I decided to join it. I was just naturally strong, maybe stronger than normal, like. So then I joined the Gary Owen Weightlifting Club then under coach Pat Phelan and Tommy Dillon. So it all just went off from there then. St Mary's Park is down near St Mary's Church there. All that here, the Island Field, they used to call it back then. Down with all the trouble and all the gang feuding is going on down there.
Was it tough when you were there? I mean, like...
No, it was nothing like that. It was nothing at all like that. They were really lovely people and it was a great time. It was a great time altogether. But I only lived there up till I was about 9, and then we got a house in Lee Estate, which was up from St Mary's Park after that. Well, my dad was strong as well, and all my dad's family were strong, you know. My dad was real proud of me, you know what I mean? Although he died very young, he died at 55, like he got a massive heart attack. But mam is real proud of me and to open my own business and buy my own house and, you know, have a good living from upholstery. Like, she's kind of proud that I have done that, you know. Now, some of the guys that I grew up with, like, all my life, they're on the dole now at the minute. And every time I see them, they seem to be either a fag in the mouth or a point in the hand. That's the way they are, you know what I mean? So I kind of branched away from that. It was only due to Pat Phelan that happened, because at the time, no one would employ anybody from where I lived. But Pat Phelan took the chance and he employed me, because he seen me training in the gym. And then he asked me, you know, did I want a job? And I said I did. And I think I was getting something like £12 a week. So I stayed with him for 13 years. Like. And then I went back to school when I was 22 and I did business organisation, so that I could manage the business and the accounts and stuff. And I've never looked back since, Mike.
You were a young man when your father died, were you? I mean,
you see, the thing about it is, I used to always, when I trained or competed, I'd always try to make my dad proud. And then when he died, that kind of motivation went. So I decided to kind of win one for him, you know. But most of my friends, my real close friends that die, what I usually do is... The fact that they've never kind of won a world championship, I always put the world medal on their chest before they close the coffin. My dad died at 56. That was 1987. And he died suddenly, like, so it was a big shock altogether. You know? But he used to be proud, like, because what he used to do is, you know, if I... Like, I always told him I'd be world champion before I'm 21, and he always said to me, you know, I don't know, can you do that, you know what I mean? And I said, just watch me do it, like, and I was world champion at 19. So when I came home with the medal, he put the medal around his neck and went off and got pissed. And he was coming down the road with the boys, and the boys are, I suppose, he got drink of everyone. The fact that I was the first world champion ever in the history of Ireland in powerlifting to win a medal, I was the first. And sure, he came round the road with the middle around his neck like Tom Jones. No matter what you say. And sloshed up the road. In the short open, I'll never forget it. That was the most funniest times of all that. Like, oh, he was singing and he was doing everything. Singing and cursing and everything. Like, anyway, he went out with about £2 and he came back sloshed to the water.
What other jobs, Ger, have you had apart from the upholstery?
The only other job I had, Mike, was... I never had another job.
You've never, like, been in a situation where you've used your physique in terms of doing a door or anything like that? Or have you been asked or anything like that? I mean,
I've been asked loads of times, but that's not me, you know what I mean? I wouldn't do that kind of work, you know? Not that if I had to do it, I'd do it, like, but I never really saw a case where I kind of had to do it, you know? I wouldn't be into it. Like, I couldn't have the heart to stop anybody at the door, you know what I mean?
I have a do if I have it in stock. What kind of a motorbike is it? 125, is it? Yeah, no problem.
A couple of weeks later, I dropped into Ger to see how he was getting on with my Bellamy couch.
Another customer, a motorbike seat she has there, she once covered, Honda 50 or something, an old vintage thing.
But I obviously wasn't Ger's number one customer that day.
I get every sort of... person here. I went to the worst one of the whole lot, I think, and the funniest one of the whole lot was that I do work as well for Land a Letter out there in Childers Road. And the best thing of the whole lot was I went down to Castletown Bear for a complaint at the head on a suite of furniture. And when I got down to Castletown Bear, I found that your man was, the owner of the suite of furniture, was home on the island. But he bought an electric suite of furniture and he was wondering why he wasn't going. You had to plug the couch in, you had no electricity to plug it into. After I drove nearly 4 hours down to the place, no electricity in the house.
The thing about calling it the Ger is that you never know who might appear.
We're very proud of him, mate, that he's a world champion and European champion. Champion many times over, and has really never had the recognition for it. Because powerlifting is not considered a sport in the Olympics, is that right, Ger? Otherwise we'd be looking at a gold medal winner here. Well, we have 32 members come from all walks of life. Come from Cork, Kerry, Waterford, Kilkenny, up to Galway. That's the even though we are called the Munster Society of Magicians. Most are amateur magicians that do card tricks. We have stage magicians. I'm a stage magician. I have doves, tricks with fire and fish. We have illusionists, and we have comedy magicians. All kinds, all types of people.
Seems anybody comes down this laneway has to have a double life of some sort.
It helps. It helps.
Right, Terry, I'll see you later.
Good luck.
That was Terry, no. Terry is the magician in the air, we call him.
Does he play any tricks on you?
Well, he did a couple of times, all right, you know. The things he does, like, he can kind of get a fridge, or not a fridge, but a microwave oven there and throw it up, put a towel over it and throw it up in the air in front of you and you just pull away the thing and there's no fridge there or no microwave there. However he does it, I don't know, because you see a microwave in his hands and then when he pulls away the cover, there's nothing there.
He's an illusionist, really, is he?
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Well.
Yeah. You know, I couldn't believe it, like, that he could do something like that, you know.
At this stage, Ger's world record attempt was looming large. And he was starting to ramp up the weight.
You doing there, Jernet?
I'm just adjusting my bent now, Mike. You know, because I have to adjust it in and out the whole time. Hello.
How are you?
Good.
How's the form?
Have a cup of tea.
Have a cup of tea, yeah.
On my next visit to check in on my Bellamy couch,
how are you?
I found Ger for the first time with his feet up.
No, yeah, please.
Oh, here we are with your couch again.
Yeah.
So I'm going to put a rail on it now. So I'll just staple it. This is a staple gun here.
Mm.
A big hardball staple gun that's driving a 3-inch staple.
into the side of your arm, right? So, yeah. This is your front rail now going in here. This will take most of the weight here now, so we have to stabilise it up and cut a few more pieces. Four and a quarter, I'm just measuring some timber there to, so I can reinforce the rail, because as you can see, it's about 7 feet long there, and you couldn't sit in there because they'd bust in the middle if it wasn't reinforced, you see. What that rail there does is that when you sit into the couch there, the rail, that rail there will be at the back of your knee. So your feet will be up and you'll be sitting on the springs there. I'm just at the drawing out these pieces here. Now we come back to your piece and we fit him under here, like this. And staple it on here to this. Oh, that's a great machine that. Sure you'd be driving nails for the day like you've had in it. No, Mike. You see the difference that makes? Mm. I mean, you could put an elephant on that now and it won't break it, you know? They'll never go again for 50 years.
Yeah. You can hear the rain now.
Yeah.
Why do you think you're so good? I mean, is it the work you put into it?
It's genetics as well, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. As you can see, I'm short and small and built lower to the floor, and my genetics has a lot got to do with it. It's also my mind, and it's training, eating. Everything in life is just falls together, you know what I mean? For me, it did anyway, you know, like my wife looks after my food and after my nutrition side of it, and I'd eat about 10 times a day. But mostly consisting of this, see the protein powders there? Like that protein there is pure protein, there's no carbohydrate in it, which means my body won't hold that much water, creatine for after training. And the most important part, glutamine is the most important supplement in any athlete's arsenal. What that does is that puts the fuel back in the muscles for the next day's training again. The creatine then is an energy booster before training.
So on top of the supplements then?
In the morning, I'd have 12 egg whites in the morning, a bowl of oatmeal, coffee. I'd probably have 2 bananas with that in as well, some whole grain toast. 11 o'clock then I'd have a protein drink. I'd have 40 grams of protein. I'd take a spoon of creatine, a spoon of L-glutamine. At one dinner, I'll go over to the Green Onion over, Roar and Bob over there, an American restaurant there in High Street. She cooks all my food and makes sure I have enough protein there. So I'd get maybe 2 breasts of chicken, some pasta, some veg and coffee as well, you know. And I'd eat that in the morning time because I train at 7 in the morning, you see. And then I train again at 4 o'clock. I'd have another protein drink in, some creatine and glutamine again at 4. And tonight at 16, I'll have a steak with some veg. And just one potato. At about 9 o'clock then I'd have two pints of Guinness to de-stress me for the day. Before I go to bed then I'd have a protein drink, and I'd have one near the bed as well if I wake up during the night. About 3 I'd have another supper.
How long have you been on that diet now?
About 10 years.
And there's no side effects to the sort of amount of protein or creatine? I mean,
well, I haven't got any, man. No, saying that, I drink a gallon of water a day as well, you see. So that's kind of flushing out the body as well, you know what I mean? Any toxins and stuff like that. I don't do this the whole time now. This is only preparation for the competition. When the competition is over, I'm normal. I'd eat anything, sweets, chocolate, the lot, you know. Put on about 2 stone and have to take it off again, you know. We work on tonnage, right? So now at the minute, we'll be lifting 20 tons a week individually, each one of us. But coming up to the show, it'll go up to about 90 tons a week.
It's hard to balance your upholstery and the powerlifting and the family and...
Not at all. It's just everyday life. I've been doing it for years. Like, it's just everyday life. And the fact that I work for myself, I can kind of do all these things anyway. You know what I mean? You know, so, I mean...
And are you, in terms of the powerlifting, would you be in your prime now, or...?
Well, I'm 43 years old and I'm still getting stronger and stronger, to be honest. I don't have any back pains or joint pains or any pains at all, like... I get a little stiff all right, but not much, you know. I think all the protein is helping my muscles recover and stuff. Other than that, like, I'm fine.
You don't think you deserve a statue on O'Connell Street at this stage, sure?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that now. Oh, I think I'm too ugly to have a statue on me. You know, balance, right? General Upholstery? Yeah. Warming up first, you see. The weights will go on now in a minute.
Let's go! Strong!
During these visits, I noticed that Jer's increasing weight tonnage was starting to show in his physique. Veins and arteries beginning to surge and bulge, stress and strain. The seat of my Bellamy couch was becoming less of an issue. Of much more interest was Jer's upcoming world record attempt. Hi, Jer, it's Michael here. How are you?
Mike, how are you going, Mike?
Last night, I was just thinking about this world record attempt of yours coming up. So what is your body weight?
67 and a half kilos, Mike.
Yeah. And what are you hoping to lift?
The record, the minute the record as it stands is 352 kilos. Hope to do around 370 anyway, 360, 370.
And how many stone is that, Jer?
It's 58 stone, 58 and a half stone, Mike. It's 5.5 times body weight.
So that's 5.5 times your own body weight?
Yeah.
So that's your whole family, really, plus more?
Plus you on top of it.
And you think you'll do it?
I know I'll do it, Mike. I have to be confident, Mike, or else every time I think of it, my legs shake, you know?
Okay, Jer, thanks. Thanks a million. Listen, I'll drop in soon to have a look at the couch. So we're,
okay, Mike.
We're nearly there. Thanks.
You know, well, I have a great following in Limerick now, the powerlifting of all sides. You know what I mean? I get great respect from all the people here in Limerick, like, for the achievements of lifting. You know, even at home in Patrickswell, where I live, like, and that's a hurling town, like.
I mean, what do you think of this whole process, and what do you think about this programme?
I think it's a brilliant program. I think a lot more athletes should, you know, a lot more people should get kind of programs done on themselves like this. You know, you see, most of the radio and RT now are favouring rugby and golf and sports, or sports, horse racing and all that. Whereas the minority sports like powerlifting, Irish dancing, handball, you know, all them sports, the minority sports, the people don't know nothing about, they don't get the coverage that they're due, you know. And most of them people are world champions as well, especially Irish dancing people. There's a lot of girls and boys world champions, and you'd never hear of it.
But how do you feel about being the centre of the programme, the focus of attention?
I don't know. You can tell me that, Mike, when you have it done. Not really. I don't mind, you know. I don't mind what way I come across, you know. It doesn't bother me at all. Like, I'm sure.
The whole idea of drugs in parasports had been on my mind. So at this stage, I felt I had to ask Jer to fill me in on the issue.
And they're all drug tested, sure. Like.
But I mean, over the last 10 years, every sport's been affected by drugs in some way or other, you know. But I mean, it must be very strict, is it? I mean,
it has, of course.
It has to have an integrity, doesn't it?
I mean. But the thing about it is, I mean, the fellas that's making these suggestions, like, are fellas that never do nothing anyway, Mike. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, our greatest athlete in the world, Michelle Smith, like, she's the greatest athlete of all time Ireland ever had, you know what I mean? And they just chopped her down, you know. She should be looked after. Not following around with a bottle, the drug tester every minute of the day, like. It's unfair. Protein, vitamins, creatine, all that. That's all performance-enhancing products. Like.
Well, that's just a part of the daily regime, really, isn't it?
If you're talking about performance-enhancing products, like, you're talking about everything across the board. Drugs, food, everything. You know what I mean? Mm. Everybody uses something for the age. Mm-hmm. All athletes do.
And that's, you think that's fair enough?
Oh, that's fair enough, yeah. Of course it is.
But in powerlifting, I mean, would it be a steroid thing or what? No, or...
Well, I suppose all strength sports are kind of plagued with kind of stuff like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Steroids like that, like. No, that's my opinion. I could be wrong knowing it, you know what I mean? I'm not an expert on that.
Will you,
like,
take something to help your performance now for the Nationals?
No, all I use there is the stuff that I showed you. This protein powder there, right? This cytofuel, amino acid tablets. You see, glutamine, protein. And all that there now is performance enhancing products, Mike. All of that is. Now, you have the likes of the fella in the sports council saying, don't use that, any of that there, because it's performance enhancing, even though it's natural. You know what I mean? No wonder there's no good athletes coming out of the country, like. No wonder, you know. And that's all that stuff there is all water approved.
Mm-hmm. You can use any of that with the World Anti-Drug Federation. Mm-hmm. And there's no way an athlete can come along and use that and then turn around after getting caught in the drug test and say that was that the other that caused that.
Yeah, it's all been...
It doesn't happen. Like,
from day one, I've always found Jared to be straight up and honest with me. The big question was, when was my Bellamy couch going to be ready? And where did all this hair come from?
That's hog hair. That's from that's not horse hair now, that'd be a hog. That's from a pig. A special pig that they breed to cut the hair off him. It's a hairy pig, like, and use the hog hair for the...
Is that still done?
That's still done today, yeah.
If you wanted hog hair now, where would you have to go to?
Venezuela, I think. That's where it comes in from. And it's like, oh, you wouldn't believe it. Oh, Mike, hold on now, let's get this hair plug here for that. What I got to do now is I got to get all that hair there now teased up for you. Get the dirt out of it, the dust and stuff. And there's no way that seat will ever go in 50 years, like, as you can see, look at it, like. Look how hard it is, like. You know what I mean? There's no way it can go.
You can take a few kids on it, will it?
That's oh, you can jump in that all you like. Go roll a truck in it.
Suddenly, everything was happening. It looked like I would have something to sit on at last. And Jer's world record attempt was just around the corner.
Yes?
Hi, Jer.
Yeah, I am, Jer. Do you want a cup?
No.
Nah.
This is my father-in-law here, Michael. He's a bit of an alcoholic, like he.
Oh, I
he preferred to be in the pub more than fucking working,
I tell
like.
You, I haven't been outside the door since Saturday. Would you believe it? Before staying down, I went into Natchez for a pint then on the way up.
Like, he's 97 years old, Michael, and he's still fucking walking around. Let him, like.
I'll be 69 this year. 69.
He's the most fertile man in my ass until now.
You've been training hard?
Very hard. Yeah, I'm in good shape now, Michael. I'm looking forward to it. See how it goes. I'm ringing now and see who this is. If I can get him. Sammy, how's it going? Sammy, I have a fella here from RTE Radio 1 that would like to come up and do a piece on the show on Saturday if it'd be okay. Well, hold on, I'll put him on to you, Sam. Hold on a minute. No, Mike, that's Sam, dear.
Hello, Sam. How are you keeping? Michael O'Kane here. I'm just in with Jer. I've been following him over the last few months, quite a few months actually. So we're just hoping to finish the program off with a visit up to a competitive side of his life, you know. So I was hoping.
No, you know the address of the place, yeah?
No,
it's the Joey Dunlop Centre in Ballymoney, County Antrim. Mm. You know what I mean? But I think it's 40 miles from Belfast, anyway. 40 miles out of Belfast, right? So you know about that.
And is this the biggest Irish competition, is it?
It is, yeah. This is the biggest one, yeah. So I'll be doing my last training session today now, just some grip work and some stomach work and all that. And then I'm ready. The strongest athletes in Ireland will be at this one, you know what I mean? This is the qualifier for the World Championships, you know? There's a couple of girls as
well. Do you remember Petra, the Polish powerlifter? Well, since I met her, she had taken part in a TV programme on body image.
But then she said she wants to be look like a woman, not a man.
When she saw the programme, she became quite upset.
That's going to come with powerlifting, you know what I mean? You're going to get very muscular and masculine looking like.
She decided to give up powerlifting.
It's something she has to deal with herself, you know? So she retired after that.
I met Jer again just before he headed off on his world record attempt. What's this new gadget?
I'm trying to program the fucker for this. You know what is a... What's called it? You know what, you know what's called it? What's called it? Sat nav system.
Are you going somewhere?
I'm going to Belfast, aren't I?
You'll be disappointed if you don't win.
Oh no, Mike, I'll win, don't worry. No one taking this man, boy. And I'm 45 years old and all, and I'm still beating the young fellas.
What's your secret?
What's my secret? Guinness. Do you agree with that, you know?
Oh yes, yes. All the way.
Here last night, I'm going to go back tonight. I think I'll drive home tonight, you know what I mean? Just take it easy, just drive home handy, you know what I mean? Yeah,
I'm on my own, yeah. I'm on my own. Not at all, yeah. I travel on my own. I do a lot of thinking by myself, you know what I mean? So I need to kind of get things in perspective, like, so. I better get back in anyway. Thanks, buddy. Thanks, man.
Jer is dwarfed by the competition stage, but admired by all present. There's a real sense of excitement. Jer steps crab-like towards his challenge, knees and thighs tightly bound, an intense forward stare. He ignores all around him, but all are hoping that this pocket rocket from Limerick breaks a new world record.
World record, 370 kilos. And I felt there was a little more there, you know?
Yeah.
It's a lot of weight, like, so I weighed in at 71 kilos, like, so it's over 5 times body weight lift, you know? I think I'm the star now, you know what I mean? It's been so light and the whole lot, you know what I mean?
What?
I think I'm the star.
Yeah.
You know, been so light and the whole lot, like. Back to the sewing machine Monday now.
My name is Sam Graham. I'm a powerlifter from Northern Ireland and a member of the Global Powerlifting Committee. Federation. Oh, Jerry's a big name in the sport all over the world. Jerry McNamara and powerlifting's like a David Beckham. That's the way he is, you know. Every country in the world knows of him. The Americans know of him. Anybody that's into powerlifting has heard tell of Jerry McNamara.
Back down in Limerick a week later, I dropped in to see how my old friend was getting on. My Bellamy couch.
Hey, Jerry.
I went down to the hospital this morning, Mike. Right? Because my elbow was giving me a bit of trouble. And do you know what? I have arthritis in my elbow.
Really?
Yeah. Because I can't straighten it out, you see. It's just nearly straight, but not too straight. But I'm getting pains in my elbow when I'm lifting, you see. And what happens is when I lock over, I'm kind of losing the power a little. But so I went down in there and she looked at it like, and she says, "You have arthritis in your elbow," she says. That's going to restrict me a little now, so I'm going to have to change my training around it. But yes, you'd think, like, for all the exercise and I do, like, you wouldn't be getting arthritis and all the supplementation I take and all that, you know. I was a bit taken aback by it, all right, and I says, "What can we do to fix it?" And she says, "Nothing." Just put up with it, she says, you know, lift away. Just 10 tons a week been pushed with it, like, you know what I mean? So there must be, over for 30 years, like, so there must be a bit of wear and tear. God only knows what I'll be like in another world. My fucking hips and all will be arthritis and my back.
It's beginning to show a bit, Jared, is it?
That's only once, like, so if it's going to be there, it's going to... might escalate.
You can't be brought in to be reupholstered.
No. I'm going to see a doctor now, a specialist doctor, outside in Croom, and see what he says, like. Yeah. But I think with arthritis, it's nothing really good to worry, you know.
Looking well.
And you're looking good. No, it looks like a couch, doesn't it?
It looks like the real thing now.
Yeah, it's lovely.
Can I sit on it?
No, sit down there, mate. Sit down there anyway. See what you think. Don't be frightened to sit in there, like, sit in there.
There's a lot more support in it than it was when I brought it into you.
Jesus, I should hope so. It was on the air, so if it was on the ground. It's a lovely piece, like, now, isn't it?
Let me put my feet up.
I'm saying we nearly smothered with the dirt that came out of it. It's all teased out now, so it's separated at the minute, you know what I mean? So as long as you're using it, it'll all intertwine, I mean, you're sitting in it and getting up and down the whole lot, you know? It might get a little softer for you as well, but it's a bit hard now at the minute, in all fairness. Mm. It needs to be broken in, is right. I mean, nothing will ever happen to see it anyway, you'll have it for life, you know? They're rare now, Dad, you know, you wouldn't come across them at all, like. I was even surprised when I saw you had one, like. It's a Bellamy couch. Oh, it goes back years, like. It's back in the 18th century or something like that, you know? So what I'll do is I'll bang it up together, so Mike, and I'll see you at the Maxall garage at about 7 o'clock-ish, and okay. We'll bring it into the house, the two of us.
Good job.
Good job.
Right, all right. Saw,
thanks.
Hello, Ger.
How are you doing?
Can you drive and talk at the same time? You've got a hands-free there, or if you've gone beyond the garage, you need to turn back, and the garage will be on your left. You'll be turning right.
No, I'm tunneling around here and chuck after something.
So go down there.
I'm at the tunneling right there. For a minute now. Do I go down that narrow road, where?
Yeah, yeah.
No, I see him, yeah. Straight up to the very top, is it?
Yeah. And I'll come out to the front.
All right,
boy. Okay.
Come on. Here. Good boy. But, yeah, you'd be surprised until you see something there you wouldn't have all been hinted. Like, you wouldn't, you know what I mean?
No.
Like, you know, it's good that you were there and you saw it as well, yeah. You know what I mean? Now, I'll go so much.
All right, Jeff, thanks very much.
Jimmy, get off the couch. You're like, go on, get off.